Hello and good morning, everybody, and welcome to Turning Towards Life. This is Lizzie and Justin, and this morning I want to dedicate Turning Towards Life to those people who listen to us while they walk. It seems that lots of people walk while they listen to us and or are in their life, in dog walking or walking in the park or something. So anyway, if you're one of those people, thank you for taking us with you, and on some level we're walking right with you and receiving the lovely experience of being on a walk while listening to us. So I know one person in particular who is walking now listening to us, and I know exactly where she is, and it seems beautiful that we are there and also here, Justin. And this week we are bringing this source, which Justin, you've called the call of self, of essential self-leadership. And I'm so excited about this. I'm so excited about talking about what is really, really important and central to both of us in our lives, Justin. And I want to let you know that you can find this source on our website, which is turningtowards.life, or in the podcast show notes, and also here on Facebook. So you could join the Facebook group if you wanted to listen live on a Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Sometimes we're a little bit late because we're in a bit of a kerfuffle of some kind in our lives, but mostly we are here around 9 o'clock, sometimes exactly at 9 o'clock, and sometimes a little bit after UK time. And it's a great joy to be here and to have this holding practice that holds us and other people in these kinds of conversations. So thank you for being here with us. We very much appreciate each other and the wider circle of people listening and being with us. So welcome to Turning Towards Life. And Justin, thank you for bringing this particular wonderful source to us today.
Oh, thank you, Lizzie. Oh, good morning, everybody. I'm so pleased to be doing this as well today. Today is one of those days where we are very slightly later than 9 o'clock, but we're here. We made it, which I'm very glad about. And this source, well, of course, you'll know this, Lizzie, but I'm saying this for everyone else. One of the reasons we're bringing this is I wrote this in response to something new that, Lizzie, that we're bringing to the world through Third Space, which is a chance to learn together, to deepen all of our capacity to lead in the world at all kinds of different scales. And I'm feeling extraordinarily excited about it. And it seemed to both of us that bringing something to talk about that somehow connected with that would be a very rich and life-giving thing. So before we read the source, as you said, Lizzie, the places you can find it, the other thing I'll just draw attention to is that this is going to be a program that we're running online starting in May. And possibly also starting in November. And you can find all the details with the source and on the Third Space website. We are thirdspace.org. We've got a new place called Living Leadership on there that you can check this out. And I suppose, Lizzie, if this conversation is inspiring to anyone, you might be interested in joining us for that learning, which we're doing together. And you can talk to us about it. So we're really easy to reach. You can reach us at Lizzie or Justin or just hello at turningtowards.life, and we will very gladly respond.
And Justin, can I just say as well, I think one of the things about this program coming up is that it's a chance to be with us if you're not, like, lots of the things we do are around coaching. And this could be about coaching for anybody, but it doesn't have to be. So I'm just noticing now in this moment, for my own excitement, that it's a way to join in with our community that isn't about coaching. It's about a way of being in the world. It's about leadership, leading a family, leading a business, leading community, any kind of place where one finds they have a piece of power. And I feel so excited about that we're widening our practices to be in a conversation, yes, that could be about and could enrich someone's coaching practice, but actually that's not what it's about explicitly. And so people listening to Turning Towards Life here might also have a chance to join in with something that feels like, oh, I really want to do something, but I don't really want to be a coach, you know. And I feel suddenly very glad about that we also might get to meet more of our Turning Towards Life community in person and be in this conversation more deeply with one another, with all the exercises and processes and conversation and reflection around this. So anyway, I'm just noticing my excitement about that.
For anyone who leads, who said on any scale, Lizzie, from someone who's leading in bringing a new project or work of art into the world, through to leading others in a family side system or a community or a organization or a country, everyone's welcome. And that's right. And so it's not about coaching, it's about something else. And you and I have spoken about often about how it's also about how we might bring our power in healthy and life-giving ways to the world.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting. It's 3 days together, and then some regular conversations over a number of months, and then 4 days together, having spent some months studying and practicing. And at the time that we're talking about this, which is April 2022, we're planning on beginning one of the cohorts of this program in May. We also think one may well begin in November, and you might be listening to this some other year, and we'll probably still be up to it in some form. So whenever you hear this, you're very welcome to get in contact with us about it. And here's the essence of it, this source. The call of essential self leadership. We're called to leadership anytime we find ourselves caring deeply about the world and people around us and want to respond with wisdom, resourcefulness, dignity, and creativity, whether that's in an organizational setting, in national scale leadership, in a family, because we've taken up a role in a community that we care about, or whenever we want to bring a new idea, possibility, cause, or work of art into the world. Stepping into leadership on whatever scale immediately asks a central question of each of us. What kind of person will I be? Can I be a person who brings out virtues of dignity, creativity, courage, compassion, persistence, humility, generosity, and wisdom in myself and the people I'm alongside? Can I catch on to the ways in which I contract into fear or reactivity or habit? Can I find others who will help me walk the path of attention, inquiry, and practice that can support me in bringing myself to the world in a way that's most fully expressive of my intentions? Another way of saying this, can I lead from my essential self, the goodness and wisdom that's at the heart of each of us? Can I attend to being right-sized, inhabiting fully the life-giving possibilities that are mine to bring without shrinking away or trying to be bigger than I really am?
We're called to leadership anytime we find ourselves caring deeply about the world and people around us and want to respond with wisdom, resourcefulness, dignity, and creativity. Whether that's in an organizational setting, in a national scale leadership, in a family, because we've taken up a role in the community that we care about, or whether we want to bring a new idea, possibility, cause, or work of art into the world. Stepping into leadership on whatever scale immediately asks a central question of each of us. What kind of person will I be? Can I be a person who brings out virtues of dignity, creativity, courage, compassion, persistence, humility, generosity, and wisdom in myself and the people I'm alongside? Can I catch on to the ways in which I contract into fear or reactivity or habit? Can I find others who will help me walk the path of attention, inquiry, and practice that can support me in bringing myself to the world in a way that's most fully expressive of my intentions? Another way of saying this, can I lead from my essential self, the goodness and wisdom that's at the heart of each of us? Can I attend to being right-sized, inhabiting fully the life-giving possibilities that are mine to bring without shrinking away or trying to be bigger than I really am?
Thank you, Lizzie. You know, as I read you reading, I really got reminded of something that I know is at the heart of this of this conversation that we've been in for 4 and a bit years, of everything that we're up to in Third Space, and particularly of this commitment around leadership, which is we can trust ourselves. We really can, us humans. There is such goodness in us. And perhaps our biggest difficulty is that we forget ourselves, that we lose contact with our own capacity. If leadership is really the act of in some way convening something and bringing something into the world that wasn't there before, together with other people, which is really what I think it is, then in a way, I want to say it's not that hard. And I don't want to diminish it, because of course anything in relationship to ourselves and in relationship to other people can be complex and difficult and confusing, and we can lose our way. But it also seems to me the case that when we soften ourselves and quiet down and remember ourselves well enough, it turns out that there is enormous capacity to do the dignified, compassionate, wise, creative work that is called for in the world. It's not absent from us as people. And that gives me enormous, enormous hope. And then, of course, we lose our way. And one of the first ways that we lose our way is that we lose contact with that goodness that is ours. So we get afraid, or we misunderstand ourselves, or we shrink away and think that there's nothing is possible, or we try to get too big and dominate others because we're uncertain. We're trying to kind of get control of ourselves and other people. And either of those, any of those moves where we forget, and then we make ourselves too small or too big for the circumstances, or we get connected up with the parts of us that are afraid or very small or on their own, or all those ways in which we somehow step away from our own inherent wisdom and goodness and capacity to be in relationship. That's where the trouble is.
Mm-hmm.
And what's difficult about it is it's really easy to do that. And so when we get talking about it, Lizzie, I what feels really hopeful for me is knowing that, particularly with the help of other people, particularly when we're around others who also care about the same things, there is a path back to the very deep inherent relational capacity to lead and to include and to have our power be the right size for the circumstance and to draw on our own qualities and do the same with other people. It's like it's sort of as close as the glasses on our noses that sometimes we don't see because we're looking through them. And that's one of the reasons why this whole endeavor seems so exciting to me, because sometimes it seems to me in those times when we feel furthest away from what we long for, we're actually quite close to it.
Yeah. Gosh, there's so much arising, Justin. There's such a beautiful, big, rangy thing to be talking about. And I guess the thing that's most here for me in response to you reading this, me reading this, and you saying what you've just said, is that sometimes in positions of power, in positions where we're leading, like you said, creating something that hasn't been created before, or holding, it can feel like a really lonely place. So it's making me think of a kind of a triangle where, you know, there's often one person at the top holding a lot, like a mother in a family, or a CEO of a business, or there's lots of a feeling of, and of course in a family you might be parenting alongside someone, but there's a lot being held in what can be a very small space. And one of the things that most excites me about this is being given the opportunity to be in a conversation about what it's like with other people who are also doing that. So almost like joining the power together. so that we can be in reflection with one another, we can be in community with one another about what it's like. You know, I certainly find, like, as a mother, where there are other mothers who are holding power in the same way as I am, being in conversation about that is the most life-giving, interesting, humor-filled, allowing, giving, permission-giving space. And same organizationally too. So the places where I hold power organizationally, when I talk to other people about holding a similar kind of power, it's so relieving. Like, I find myself going, oh, yes, me too. Like, let's talk some more about that. And how is that for you? And this is how it is for me. And I wonder about the times I get really triggered. And could we talk about that together and be together inside of it? So I'm finding myself really, really eager and really up for the conversation, because it seems like it undoes the loneliness and the, like you said, when we're like looking through our own glasses, we're seeing through them. And so we can't really tell a lot of the time that we even have them on. It feels so like that, that if I keep referring to myself all the time for my answers, it's a very different set of actions that are going to happen than if I'm in community about something, that I'm talking about the dynamics, I'm talking about what the struggles are and where my triggers are, and for people to help me with that feels so crucial to me finding a way that is also inclusive of me. Because I think that some of the hallmarks of this for me are a kind of loneliness and confusion, but also I'm the responsible one. So I don't get to receive as much as would be very, very healthy for me to receive, given how resourced I need to be to do the job that I'm doing. And I think in our culture generally, and I know I'm also coming at this from being a mum too, in a time when being supported when you have a baby is literally like not on the radar of our culture. So you get kind of sent home with a baby and you don't know what to do, and there's no instruction book. And broadly, you know, some really kind neighbors might come around and say, do you need something? But it's not really the support that you need. The support that you need is a conversation about what it's like to suddenly be thrown into a position of power that's very particular, and that's probably one of the greatest powers there is to be a mother of a child. And the kind of support that is needed comes from resourcedness as well, of other people who are resourced and can provide what's needed. And so this question, I think, exists super domestically as well as corporately, as well as community, as, you know, in all the kind of societal ways. So I get filled with real excitement that we could all be together in what it's like to hold these places of where we're holding others, and we're responsible for others, and we're responding to others, and holding some kind of power in any kind of system. To be together in that feels like, oh my God, what, I don't know what else there is that we should all be doing.
Mm. Mm. I'm really struck by what you said about the aloneness that our culture generates. And it seems to me it's the same whether you're the kind of power you're stepping into is the power of parenthood, or if it's the power of being in a relationship with someone else, or if it's the power of taking up some position in a community or in a corporation, or, you know, any of these scales. I often hear people say it's lonely, you know, the sort of the, it's a bit of a truism, it's lonely at the top.
Mm.
People say.
Mm.
Well, I suppose people say it because it's true, but it, in a way, it's true as a consequence of the kind of culture that so many of us have ended up living in, which has our separateness from one another be the given, be the default. So of course it's lonely. It's lonely to be a mom or a dad or to run a team or to lead a community but it doesn't have to be, because I suppose one of the things that we're seeing, Lizzie, in this conversation is that whenever we find ourselves called to exercise ourselves on behalf of bringing about something for others, which is really also what leadership is we're acting in such a way as to bring a possibility of something creative or some kind of care, or maybe the ongoing good functioning of a group of people, or a product that's coming to the world, or, you know, whatever it is. The dynamics in that are actually the same regardless of what scale you're on, whether it's in the micro community of a family unit or the sort of macro community of a big organization. We're always in this question that you were pointing into from what you were saying: can I be resourced here? So can this happen without eating me up from the inside? Can I bring the virtues that are inherently mine? Like, I really notice this with me in all the places I lead. It's, there are different ways in. Some of them call on my wisdom and my understanding and my capacity to not know and to listen and to respond. And some of them call on what's afraid in me, you know, and wants to react and wants to be certain and wants to be in control. And so it's a very real question for us at all of those different scales, is which, what of me gets evoked here? Is it the something that we've called in this piece our essential selves, which is the kind of something that was with us right from the start before we even met anyone, that kind of dignity and capacity that comes with being a human? Or am I going to come from the smaller, more contracted, more frightened, more protective parts of me? And, you know, and consequently, will I bring myself with a kind of an appropriateness to meet the situation? You and I have often talked about healthy power, about what happens when we try to get too big and dominate, or when we get too small and hold ourselves back. Mm-hmm. That this set of questions is a really ordinary set of human questions. I mean, in a way, it's the central questions of living a life, is from where do I live? Mm-hmm. And what and who helps me to be the one who lives from the goodness that's here, as opposed to all the ways we get distorted and interrupted. Mm-hmm. So I'm incredibly excited also that what might happen with this program that we're starting is that we might find ourselves with a group of people who are leading at all these different scales, and that we find out that there's something special and also ordinary about being a mum and being a CEO and being a community leader and being an artist and being all the different ways that we lead, that they're, of course, they're all distinct from one another, but they're all essentially deeply, deeply human practices. And that how we lead in one also will shape how we are in all of the different domains of our life, because they're not separate from one another.
Yeah. I was thinking, as you were saying, Justin, that they're both not separate from one another, and we hold multiple of them probably as well. So we might be a dad and a CEO and a community leader and leading our own creative life at the same time. Like, there's different places that we're holding the same dynamic, like you were saying. And to wonder how those can flow into one another as well, what that would be like. And as you were talking, I was feeling into the whole piece where you were saying it's also just about leading a life. You know, we say that, don't we? That life is a led thing. We lead our own lives. So there's something about leadership in the context of just this one as well. I am my own power. Like, how am I going to lead myself through my life? And I wonder how that then filters down into the places of where I have a positional power, for example. And I really think that can't be separated out. Like, the way I hold myself, the way I support myself, the way I live from either this term essential self with capital E and a capital F that you've written down here, Justin. When I lead myself from that place, it's a very different life than when I lead myself from all my catastrophizing and fearfulness and worry and incapacity. And, you know, funnily enough, this morning, Justin, I was as well. What happens when I'm moving towards these conversations is that I start kind of I don't know, somehow assimilating the conversation in myself as I literally arrive here from waking up in a kerfuffle, arriving here at this point to start, all these things start occurring to me. And this morning it was, okay, so essential self, like, what is that really? And then as I made contact with essential selfness, I started coming up with all these ideas of what that could mean in the world. And I started having ideas about sustainability and how to bring our work far more into communities so that we can support one another on a kind of massive scale, so that the systems that are trying to support us and not really doing very well don't have to be the place we go for help. We can go to one another for help. Like, what is that? So that's the kind of ideas in me that get born from essential self contact. And then I get really interested in, my gosh, okay, so if I would just wake up each day orienting myself around essential self, wonder what other ideas and actions I will take and wanderings I will have. So it feels to me so important to gather in the spirit of this, so that our creativity and, like you're saying, our goodness and our wisdom and our resourcefulness can find its way to the surface and can take root in the world and can take and be acted upon. Because it seems to me like when we do that, we can respond to this world that really needs us to respond. Our families need us to respond well to them with health and vitality and resourcefulness, as does our street and our company and our community and our NHS and our, like, it's really, it feels important that we're all coming from this place of resourcefulness, which seems very linked with essential self and the part of us that is this goodness, this wisdom, this filled with ideas about things, and to allow all of that to come forth because of the conversations that we're in and the support we receive and the goodness we can be to one another feels really, really important.
I love this idea. So taken by this, to just thread through something you just said. So you said we're all leading because we're leading a life. And actually that's really true. It's not just an accident of language. One of the ways in which we're leading is we're leading, if we start to see ourselves not just as one thing, but as a community, like, I'm not just one, I'm a community myself. I've got lots of different parts. I've got parts that are very little and very young and very frightened, and parts that want to be in control, and parts that are confused, and parts that long. So one of the ways in which we lead a life is to, as well as we've been talking about attending to what's around us, is to attend to what's in us, and to find ways of being the one who leads there in a way that gets in contact with our essential goodness, the essential, that's what we've been meaning by essential self. So I was talking with someone about this, of course, this has been on my mind too. I was talking with someone just the other day about how, you know, sometimes the trickiness that we get into is that some part of me that's really defensive and frightened then gets in a relationship with some part of someone else that's really defensive and frightened. And everything that happens between those parts. And what gets missed is the wider, deeper, quieter, calmer wisdom that could be in relationship with the other people, but right now isn't, because we've both, you know, these frightened ones have come forward. So that kind of leading our lives from there. But then I also realized something else when you were speaking, you giving all these examples, Lizzie. And I was thinking, oh yeah, there are all the places that we lead that we don't even think of as leading. So you were talking about the NHS, and I got thinking about, you know, health settings. So when I walk into the waiting room of the hospital and there's a queue and I'm thought I was going to be 5 minutes, but I'm going to have to wait 2 hours, who am I then? What kind of person shows up then? Do I, in that situation where I'm surrounded by people I may not know and may never have met, other people who are trying to be of service, people who are trying to deal with the complexity of the situation, other people who are vulnerable and waiting like me and all of that. That's a moment in which I get to lead or not too, because the kind of situation I create by flipping out and ranting or treating other people with dignity and treating myself with dignity, or maybe asking for what I want and what I need that I ordinarily wouldn't ask for, that may not be a situation which I think of myself as leading anything, because it's not where I'm a parent, and it's not where I'm a I'm just a person who walked in the room. But right there is where we lead our lives as well.
Yeah.
We lead ourselves in the midst of it. And then we also lead in the sense of creating and inviting certain kinds of possibility and opportunity in the people around us. Or not. And I'm really with you. I was really touched by the way you said our families need us to do this, and our communities need us to do this. And if we're in an organization, our organizations need us to do this, but also the society that we're in needs us to do this, but also the people right next to us on the bus and in the waiting room need us to do this. And this isn't so much that's in the world is sort of on the scale of how do I have my life be groovy so that I feel good and I like it and I'm on top. And this is really a different question, although in some ways it's an answer to that question, but it comes from a different place, which is why we've been talking about being called to leadership, which is the world really needs us to show up. And the question is, how do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Not which is different from how do I get what I want?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just feeling really moved by that, because I suppose that's what, again, gives me hope in this fractured world, which is in so much difficulty, is we're called to respond. And actually, I really think we can.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that we can respond to whatever it is we're in the middle of. It doesn't mm-hmm. always sort it out, but it certainly helps. And that's really the question that we're in the middle of here.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned that we're a community, like this one is a community. I got really curious about the way I relate to all the different places in me being not separate from the way I relate to all of the people I might be holding. And I've noticed that when I am holding people, what's actually happening is that they are inside me. So inside my imagination, inside my heart, inside my mind, I can find the people that I feel some responsibility to. And so the way I relate to them is mirrored by the way that I relate to my own individual community of parts. So I know that people become a part of me. And I've been really curious about that. With in relation also, this is kind of slightly tangential, but to people who aren't here anymore in their bodies, they are a part of me, just as people who are in their bodies are a part of me. And so I feel really amazed by how, when I begin to relate to my parts differently, like the part of me that's resentful, for example, I spoke about that, I think last week here, when I relate to that part in a particular way, I suddenly, the lights come on of how I could relate to someone who is feeling particularly resentful. Like the dynamic of relating to a part of myself isn't different to how I relate to that in another. So in my own self-inquiry, I can feel a really super practical link of, so when I deal with myself from essential self in relationship to resentment, for example, when resentment appears in the other people in my system, my curiosity is a very different one than if I hadn't actually looked at my own resentment as a part of me. So my community of inner dynamics of being a human being feels extremely linked to the rest of the actual individual community members that I feel I'm in some way responsible for or responsible to or interacting with in my life.
What a wonderful place to end this conversation for today, Lizzie, which is seeing that, as well as everything else we've been talking about, that it's our inner relationships and our outer relationships are really one and the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that we can work on both of them through the other one. We can work on our outer relationships by working on what's inside us, and we can work on what's inside us by working with what's around us.
Yeah.
Well, I loved having this conversation with you, Lizzie, and I'm left wanting to say to obviously everyone who's with us, thank you for being with us again today. And maybe in this conversation, you'll have heard an invitation, a possibility into being in this kind of inquiry together. And if that's of interest to you, or maybe someone you know, then we, Lizzie, you and I, our very dear friend and colleague, Nina, and backed up by the whole of Third Space, are launching into bringing this to the world in the coming months. And maybe you'll be interested in joining us. And if you are, head over to the Third Space, wearethirdspace.org website, and look for Living Leadership there, or check the show notes from the podcast or the email that comes out. There's a wonderful email that comes out from us for Turning Towards Life. We'll put all the details in there, or this episode on the Turning Towards Life website, all of those places you can find out about it. Maybe we'll see you there. And if not, I'm certainly hoping that this conversation will have raised all of those questions anyway, and as it folds out into the world. And we will be back again next week for another week of Turning Towards Life. And thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.